Well, that was an interesting podcast edit. This is Matt. I just got done editing the podcast that you're about to listen to. And first off, our podcast failed, our recording failed. So I actually had to edit this off of the live audio from the Twitch stream. So it does not sound as good as it normally would. We had to use some Skype audio, and I couldn't get in and clean it as well as I normally can. So my apologies for any sound differences. Our quality is normally a little higher than it is this week. Secondly, we had a lot of feedback on last week's episode about politics and how politics and racial issues entered into the discussion last week. And we definitely get into that some more. But there was one email that I got pretty direct with how I felt. And basically unloaded my own thoughts on racial inequality, which a lot of you are here for escapism, and I get that. And that's what some of our feedback was on. Some of it was, we have feedback saying, we don't get into the weeds of the racial politics enough. And we got feedback saying we got too into it. So as a compromise, I took that email and moved it to the end of the podcast, and I will put a little warning in case you don't feel like hearing my personal views, or I guess all of our personal views on racial inequality at the end. It was already at the end, but I guess I'll just give you a warning because I don't normally. I walk the line between like talking about racism and not really getting into the politics of it and how it directly relates to the current political climate. I go beyond that in this episode, which we've never really done before on the podcast. So if you're not into that, feel free to peace out at that moment. We will continue to talk about the racial overtones as they come up in the television series. We're not going to become a politics podcast, as we say toward the end. But as we say over and over in this episode, we don't believe civil rights is politics. And the civil rights and racial overtones of this episode of Falcon Winter Soldier merited discussion, and we have that discussion. And anything further than that, I put at the end, so you can bail out if you like. Enjoy.
Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Falcon and the Winter Soldier, all the feedback and theories and
lots of one-star reviews.
All that more after that, we have no control over.
Do-do-do-do.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Really, really, really good. Hit us with that 5-star review.
Hey, speaking of girl in the chair, Agnes Harkness said, I can geek out. I'm calling you guys the McCup. I just like the name, but I just added something extra like the podcast intriguingly does. You put both opinions and arguments for everyone in the embarrassment to see what theories they decide they like and come up with. Thank you for being that podcast that has stuck around and made it easy for me to multitask and enjoy my Marvel-themed brain cells. Jeff is hilarious, and Matt, you Carol, is very clever. Ashley is a queen just chilling in the chair, and when Matthew Fox comes along, he phrases the chat input in a way that makes my brain tingle with new information because of its relevancy. You guys are awesome with everything. Love you, 300. Don't dissect it, because everything has a meaning. P.S. When you guys cry, I cry, so your emotion's on my shoulder.
Oh, that was a lovely review. Thank you so much.
It was raving. Stark raving. I love it.
It was raving and full of lots of things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the reason it's particularly poignant this week is we got multiple one-star reviews this week.
I go away for the podcast for 1 minute and it all falls apart.
Yep.
I leave you guys for one damn minute.
She's not here to keep us under control. And we went off the rails and we got ourselves in trouble. No, but for real, what happened is apparently
Jay Scotty did an amazing job.
Oh yeah, for sure. Jay Scotty. That was so good. Not meant to impugn him. It was a joke. His first time. He's not ready to jump in and tell us what not to talk about. So we did talk a little. This show got a little political, and so we talked about a little bit of the politics and the racial politics of this stuff and all that. And we did. And we got the funny thing is we got 1-star reviews on both sides saying we didn't go. Yep. That we were not left enough and that we were not right enough and that basically racism doesn't exist and that we didn't understand racism well enough.
That's how most of the feedback was, actually. It was split right down the middle.
Yeah.
Everyone was
mad at us.
All right. I guess that's the show. We can just say everyone's mad at us. See you on Friday.
Yeah. And honestly, the thing was, most of the stuff that we missed – there were things that I didn't catch when we were on the first viewing that were like some racial overtones that I missed, just completely missed, totally understood that we did miss some things. The ones that talked about racism not existing, I'm less keen to entertain. And here's the thing. I don't think civil rights is politics. We've talked about this in the past. Civil rights is not the same as politics. And if you think it is, you might want to examine that. Falcon Winter Soldier, the way it covers these things, we're going to end up talking about some of the racial overtones of the show. That's just going to be the case. And if you don't want any civil rights stuff in your Marvel, then you're probably watching the wrong universe, because Marvel, the pages are covered with racial stuff.
Can we get a word from the lady in the chair and see what she thought about this episode?
Yeah. What'd you think of this episode, Ash?
I loved it. What a good start. Really setting up the characters. There's things that I saw with Bucky that were just a little different. Cause I was talking with Katie Rose Button after we were messaging. And, I really felt like we finally got to see Bucky the way he was in the first Avenger. Cause if you go back and watch that movie, he's so charismatic. He has the quips. He's the ladies' man. And then, you know, he's like the war hero. He had a lot of lines, a lot of more face time. And this is the closest we've seen that character to who he was in that film. You can kind of see Wakanda definitely did something in there that really helped with him. And I love seeing him having to work through it, with the therapist. I thought it was great. Yeah.
I totally agree. I think that he's just so been freaky, like a whole new Bucky. I mentioned it on the main cast, but I thought that Sam was as charismatic and wonderful as I expected him to be, but Bucky blew me away with his charisma and what he pulled off. I haven't really liked Bucky all that much in the movies and since the first Avenger. I love Bucky, but
he hasn't really given you that much other than just presence on screen, right? Yeah.
He doesn't say much.
He's more than just a face. Ashley, keep reminding yourself about that.
He's more than just that long hair.
It's interesting because we learn in Civil War that he does remember everybody that he's killed. It seems like after he gets unscrambled, when he meets up with them in Civil War and he's like, what did I do? He at the time doesn't remember, but when he's not so much under the Hydra brain scramble, he definitely remembers these things. And sleeping on the floor, Sam says something to him to Captain America in what's my favorite one? In the Winter Soldier about how he still has to sleep on the floor. So I loved all the little callbacks. He has a little book, Steve has a little book. The dynamic of the two of them is Bucky's very Cap and Falcon's kind of Tony-ish. So the dynamic right. together is going to be great. Like, together they are a Captain America. But we'll see. We'll see. Falcon, I felt like I really was offended by the way he told that guy to not touch his wires. Because I don't like to be talked to like that.
Mm.
When he's like, can you not? I would have flipped the table. It just didn't seem very... very Sam of him.
Something that I didn't catch, and this is a new Rockstars theory, so shout out to the new Rockstars on YouTube. The guy had a theory about that. He mentions when the guy reaches over to touch it, he mentions that every time I send this in to be worked on by command, it comes back with problems.
Yeah.
And so his theory is that someone at command is trying to sabotage Falcon because they don't want smart. There to be sort of the two Captain Americas competing Captain Americas thing. Mm-hmm. So there's actually like possibly someone actually trying to sabotage him. So when someone from the military reaches over and tries to mess with his Red Wing, he's like, no, leave my stuff alone. I'm the only one that's going to work on this. Cause every time I send it in, it ends up messed up. And he's starting to think that someone's trying to sabotage him.
Well, and you know, that wish.com Captain America is probably part of it.
I have seen so many great memes involving that man's face. That man's stupid, punchable face. Like, nothing against the actor. Oh my God, Wyatt Russell, I'm so sorry that you have to endure all of this shit. But, like, you signed up for it. You knew what was coming, right?
Yeah.
It's like, perfect.
And you're doing such a great job with it.
He didn't have to say anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. With 8 seconds
and we're
on
like,
screen.
We hate you.
With
we
8 seconds
you.
On screen and nothing more than a wink. He has everyone hating him. And that's exactly what Marvel wanted. That's they're like,
yep. They nailed
it. We're all marionettes and they're just tugging on the little strings. Like, and like, it's his face they just put in front of us and we're like, ah, and they're like, ah,
who are you?
Yeah, you're not Steve. And like, <they're, sighs> however, Carl from Up with the fucking Captain America helmet on,
yeah,
please stop.
So good, so good.
It looks just like him.
What I really,
really does
what I want now. Because I like an arc, and I like sort of the dichotomy and the changing of expectations or the subverting of expectations, is I want by the end of this show for us to absolutely love that Captain America.
No.
And like, I don't see it happening at this point. I think everyone's so on board, and I think it could be that he's the horrible guy. I would love to see that if the government's got some bad plans, and maybe they were trying to sabotage Sam, maybe they were like convincing him. The theory that I have that I didn't think about until we got into it or whatever is the fact that that guy said, you know, you're doing the right thing when he handed over the shield. That guy clearly wanted him out.
That's sneaky.
And he's the guy that's introducing the new Cap later. And we know that Falcon, we know that Bucky got a pardon for all his crimes. I'm assuming Falcon also needed a pardon because he was on the wrong side, quote in quotations, of Civil War. So, like, my best guess was that to get the pardon, he had to give up the shield. Or something like that. Maybe there's some scene,
I hate it.
Right? Maybe there's some scene that they will reveal down the road where they're like, this is what actually happened. Like, this is why he was so reticently giving it up or whatever.
Right.
I honestly just thought it was him resisting the call, as it were. Resisting the call to be Captain America.
I still kind of think that might be it, though.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to have to see, like, travesty happening. And he's going to be like, God damn it, I got to go get that shield now. I have to do it.
I think that's it. And I think this might be the new Mephisto. This idea that, like, there's something behind the scenes that's pulling all the strings of this whole thing. And,
it's Mephisto.
Yeah, it's Mephisto.
Yeah, it's Mephisto. Yeah. Exactly.
We're there again.
That guy's Mephisto. That guy.
Yep. He himself is Mephisto.
When the devil tells you you're doing the right thing.
That makes the most sense. I mean, as much as I hate that kind of story for Sam, just because, like, it's such a shitty thing to do to a beloved character. Like,
right.
It would be real solid. It would be real good. And I hate it, and I love it, and I hate it. Like, why you got to do this to me, Matt?
Yeah, it's just like, how evil... I feel like we're definitely lining up on a story where the government is doing something evil, and he has to stop it. Like they're seeming like they're going to be the antagonist of the story. It's just like, how evil are they going to go? You know, were they just a little
low? Can you go?
Were they just being like PR evil, like sort of the boys esque, where they're like, no, we need a very certain type of hero, and it needs to fit our four quadrant branding problem or whatever. Or are they going to go with like, you know, this
oh,
is.
Oh God, I really don't want somebody following along behind John Walker that's like, oh, you're playing really great into the 18 to 24 demographic. Like, I hate that.
No personal assistants named Ashley?
I swear, I need that to stay in the boys because, like, I hated that character. Like, she was perfect for what she needed to be, but, like, she made me so mad.
Yeah.
And, like, she was supposed to, but I don't like feeling like that.
Well,
feel the rage.
That's my question. Were they just, like, worrying about branding and they're, like, putting a little pressure on him to give up the shield? That's possible. Or they were sabotaging his suit and trying to get him killed so they could replace him as Captain America. You know,
it just seems that his missions also don't have a lot of explanation. Like, who was they? That guy he saved, that soldier. Why was he out there? He had no kind of backup. He has to do it off the radar, but yet he's not getting paid by the government to do these things. It's all very confusing.
Yeah.
Is he not getting paid by the government to do those
things? He is getting paid by the government, as far as I understand.
Just not a lot. Just like...
Well, I think he said I'm a contractor, and...
Right. He says he has contracts with the government, so I'm assuming he's getting paid something.
Yeah. And it was making me think about working at the Renaissance Fair, like him being an Avenger. Because I bet when you're an Avenger, they pay for your phone. You use their cars. They pay for you to live. They pay for your TV. You pretty much probably get like a base salary. But other than that, like, they take care and pay for everything. So when you don't live like at the Avengers base anymore, suddenly you don't have any of that stuff. You don't have your free phone. You don't have your
The problem is, who is they now? Before it was Stark. Like, Stark was bankroll and everything. Has Pepper taken that responsibility up?
I would hope so.
She better. But maybe not if she doesn't agree with what's going on. Maybe she's kind of siding with the government on certain things, or maybe she's not. Like, and that's the thing is, like, for the last years before the 5-year blip, he was working with Steve in the shadows. So it's like, when was the last time he had
Tony? Tony never shut off Steve's credit card.
I don't know about that, Ash. They were pretty mad at each other.
I know, but he loves him.
But they're in love.
He kept an untraceable account somewhere for him.
Yeah. Swiss account, right?
Yeah.
I would hope so, but I don't know.
Oh, shit.
They were pretty mad at each other.
That's the money that was being stolen in this episode by the Uruk-hai.
Black
Smashers.
They stole Team Steve's money.
Yeah, Team Steve's money. They had to go to that Swiss bank.
Dang, the firebenders are bad.
Yeah, they were. I couldn't think of the term Flag Smashers, so it's like they had the handprint on their face. They're the Uruk-hai.
The firebenders.
Oh God, that's so funny. All right. Actually, I want to see what your thoughts on this are, and I want to watch your facial response to this. I was informed of a theory, or an observation, I guess, about this episode I had not known about. One of our pandas told me Bucky, when he was talking about online dating, was looking at dude profiles.
He was?
Yep. The thing that he says... Two for one?
He can bring a friend.
Right. The thing that he says is, half the time I don't know what I'm looking at. He's like, I mean, tiger photos? And apparently on Tinder, like years ago, 5-6 years ago, it was very common for guys to put up pictures with a tiger to like make themselves seem more exotic.
I think ladies do that too, though.
That down. It was very heavily, primarily men doing it.
That may be. I don't know. I've definitely heard of.
It's not the tiger queen.
I've definitely heard of ladies doing that as well. There's a whole business around it in other countries where, like, you can go, and they basically dope up tigers so you can go sit next to them for Instagram. It's like a whole thing. Yeah, it's really bad. That's why they shut it down.
Right. So it was like I found a couple of articles about it, and it was mostly men, and the theory suggests that Bucky's not entirely hetero. And I'm like, huh. That makes You're My Mission and like looping that little thing a lot more accurate.
I ship it. It's fine with
me. Cool.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose.
And the cry.
You're taking all the good ones.
No, I mean that's not to say that he couldn't be some.
Quinto.
He could. I mean, he could still like you. You know, he did accept the date with the lady.
He'll bring his friend. I would love a bisexual Bucky. It just rolls right off the tongue.
Oh yes, yeah,
nice alliteration.
It's very alliterative.
Yeah,
I love alliteration.
Yeah. I remembered what I was going to mention before I got sidetracked a minute ago. We were talking about this being like some sort of fake mission or like something wrong with that mission. Well, the inclusion of Batroc,
the leader.
The last time he was used was in Winter Soldier, when he was hired by Nick Fury to do the thing that he was doing so that it would uncover Hydra. If you remember,
to hijack the Lumerian Star.
Yeah. So, like,
last time
he was used, it was like a false flag operation being done through subsidiaries by Nick Fury. So, it would not be a huge leap if this was something similar. And that could be a little clue to the fact that he's in, like, that the government's involved with whatever mission this was. Maybe they were trying to get Sam hurt or something.
Oh.
Not cool.
Matt, you said it's not a huge leap, but.
Good call.
We're talking about the Leaper here.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it is a huge leap.
It looks like Blake got it.
Yep. Okay.
Blake got it in the chat. Mephisto confirmed, basically, is what we're saying here.
Yeah, good call. So let's head into feedback time, and we're going to say au revoir, at least for now, from Ashley. She's going to head into the producer cave and do some feedback rounding.
All right, this one comes first because it's a patron, and we read patrons first because patrons give us that dollar bills, y'all.
We keep them up there, up as high as we can.
John Litz says, can you guys maybe touch on Red Barbarian? There was a name on Bucky's list, Rostov. I searched it and got Andre Rostov, the Red Barbarian, as a result. But I have no idea who the character is. Maybe just an Easter egg, but who knows? And I don't know either.
Yeah, we are pretty unfamiliar with this character. We looked him up a little bit. He like ran in the comics. He like ran a prison or something, right? Where
it was a
Bucky was held.
The gulag that yeah. Bucky was held in for killing two Russian citizens many years back.
He's a violent communist general who controlled a vast spy network, and his primary goal was to steal weapon plans from Stark Industries.
Yeah, this is just another, like, Easter egg that makes me want a Bucky show, like a full-on week-to-week drama where he's, like, going out and solving another thing on his list, you know? Because I'm like, yeah, he apparently helped someone get in power that's, like, doing crazy stuff in Russia, the Red Barbarian, and I want more. I want to know all of those stories.
Well, I mean, that character could pretty easily play into Armor Wars, though. Like, so this that could have this, you know, that through line there. We already get Rhodey, who is supposed to be leading the Armor Wars series in this episode. So, you know, he's gonna take that information, and then he's gonna like go on over to his little home that is the Armor Wars show and be like, all right, well, how do we use this? And then flourish. Flourish.
It makes me want all this stuff to cross over so hard. Like, this show could be, you know, you talk about shows where they have season one, season two, season three. Something that I think Marvel learned a few years ago is part twos never do as well. I don't know if you noticed, but after Iron Man, they stopped using the numbers as signifiers. Except for Guardians, they do Volume 2. But they've always done, like, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, Thor, The Dark World. They don't use numbers anymore. And it makes me wonder how much, like, a show like this could be a direct precursor to something like Armor Wars next year. Let's say they put it out in about a year. They've already got a production team together. They could keep kind of the same sort of theme going. The same sort of effects would be used because it's a, you know, It's a similar Earth-based show about like heroes that are dealing with similar issues. Like they could keep the same production team, move them to a new show without having to call it, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier Part 2, but it's just like Armor Wars, but it could have a lot of these same characters and a lot of the same settings and stuff in it. I think that's pretty interesting, and I want it all. I want all of it. I'm so excited. I just can't say how excited I am about how connected all this stuff seems like it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're finally getting the interconnectivity that we were promised way back when.
We've been talking about for 6 years.
Ashley laughed because she remembers me saying that exact word in that exact way years ago.
That's right. Six and a half years we've been saying, like, it's all connected. Interconnectivity.
Interconnectivity.
Deep, hot, wet continuity. Whatever you want to say. We've been saying it there all it for years. Our first episode. That joke about deep, hot, wet continuity comes from our first episode.
Talk about a through line.
Talk about a through line. This is just so cool that we're finally actually getting it on the TV shows as well.
Yeah, we're getting it on... Like, I think the thing that is most important is that we're getting it in a way that the movies also recognize, you know?
Yeah.
Like, having the shows be affected by the movies is fine and all. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could do that all day. But having the movies be affected by what happens in the shows is something else entirely. Like, and that doesn't happen in media. Like, that's never happened in
this film. I mean, the only real connection we have like that is something like the 17th episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Turn, where they did that great crossover. But then we just have never gotten it again. And that's the thing that our podcast is built on. Like, that's what we did that season. Or, like, you know, we saw how connected and wonderful that was, and we started doing this podcast about it. And then they never really did that again. And now it's like 6 years in, they're finally, like, really getting back to it. And I'm here for it, man. 100% here for it.
Erica Lovato says, hi, first time writing in, and I just wanted to say I really love the podcast.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Erica. While watching the new Falcon and the Winter Soldier episode, I couldn't help but think, didn't Cap Shield get absolutely demolished by Thanos in the final Endgame battle? How do we have this shiny new shield? I mean, maybe somebody fixed it, but who fixed it? Because it definitely was not Tony, R.I.P., or maybe it's from a totally different timeline, and if it is, what could be the possible implications of that? This is part of the multiverse saga, after all, Erica. Mm-hmm.
I like that. What if, like, I feel like Erica's implication here is, like, kind of like the stones. Like, if it came from an alternate universe, you know, you remove one, you cause a weird ripple in the timeline. So, like, what if old man Steve, like, stole it from a young Steve?
He didn't have it when he was going back in time, did he? I can't.
Did he?
No, he didn't have the shield.
No,
he had,
no, yeah.
He had Mjolnir and he had the case. And,
the case of stones.
Case with all the stones. And he was going to be returning the stones to their original timelines, but not in their original forms, which kind of is weird for, like, returning the Tesseract or the Space Stone. And it not being in the Tesseract, like, what, this is different. What is this?
Yeah, but I think the idea is if you lose one of them completely from a timeline, according to the ancient one, it, like, messes up the timeline because the flow of time is interrupted. Right. And I guess the flow of space is interrupted and the flow of whatever.
Right, but it's still going to be altered.
Oh, for sure.
Because the staff is not the staff anymore. It's the Mind Stone.
I've been saying for years, like, you still change these timelines. They still...
The butterfly effect still happens.
The outcroppings of the timeline still exist. She talks about clipping them off, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Trimming the branches.
How do you not know how time travel works, Ancient One? I know better than the Ancient One. Come on.
She's only ever experienced time in a forward fashion. That's why, Matt.
Yeah, and
she's the Ancient One. She's just, you know, just because you've existed through a lot of time doesn't mean you know how time travel
works.
That's
right. That's right. You have to have watched a lot of Back to the Future for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. But to Erica's question, at the end of Endgame, Steve had this brand new shield that he had given to Sam, And Sam was like, it feels like it's somebody else's. It feels like it belongs to somebody else. That's because it does. It's probably from a different point in a timeline that Steve just kind of yoinked. And, you know, there's a multiverse, or there's a universe in the multiverse out there that doesn't have this vibranium circular shield.
Well, maybe he did it when he was at Avengers Tower with Tony, and then Steve and Tony have to have the awkward conversation of, like, Steve's like, I lost it, man. And Tony's like, are you serious? And he's like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. Just make another one. And Tony made him another one.
Well, and that's the question. Like, this old man Steve knows about Wakanda. And the whole thing that's special about the shield is the vibranium in it. And I feel like this old man Steve would have had the ability, to, if he's in another timeline, to go to Wakanda and talk to T'Chaka and be like, hey, bud, so I know you don't know me yet. I'm from the future. Yeah. We're friends. I'm a friend of your son's. Mm-hmm. From the future. I can tell you some things there's no way I could know. Can you help me out with a little vibranium? And can, you know, your tech people turn it into a shield? You know what I mean?
You know what? Honestly, like, that might be the thing, because it's never explained how they have the only sample of vibranium in the world in World War II. Like,
yeah.
Howard is just like, oh, this is a very rare thing. This is all we got. But it, you know, absorbs all vibrations, whatever. Like, it's not explained how they came across that and why the hell it's a frisbee shape. Like, how did it get there?
Oh, so you're saying in the original timeline, old man Steve helped connect the vibranium? Possibly, but then you end up in a paradox where Steve has to create himself.
Well, Arbreeze says, what if he just has Howard make him a new one?
Well, Howard didn't have the materials for it.
Yeah, that's why he would have had to visit. Someone would have had to go to Wakanda. Yeah. Yeah. They were like, this is all of the vibranium we have in the world, you know? So that's why I'm saying, like, all you need to get Howard to create a new one, or Tony, or Shuri, or whoever, is for old man Cap to go to Wakanda and be like, hey, how about that shield? Can you make me a new one?
Yeah.
Let me get a little sample. I mean,
from what I understand, this shield is slightly different, too, than the old shield, right? Like, there's little, like, etchings near the inner circle that are different than the old shield.
Not that I know of. I don't know.
I've only seen it in breakdowns of other YouTubers and stuff that have pointed out that there's these little, like, black etchings around the edge of the center circle, as if this shield is going to have some sort of mechanized capability that the old one did not.
Oh, maybe they upgraded it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is like, I'm talking about T'Chaka, but it could be that in the 5-year blip, old man Steve goes to Shuri and has her make a new shield that has upgrades.
It has it on, and when he hands the shield to Sam in Endgame, it has the etchings.
No, that's what I'm talking about, that shield.
Okay. Wasn't that one from...
that would be the new shield.
Oh, yeah, that's the new one. Yeah. Because the old one I'm seeing in Civil War doesn't have it.
Yeah, that's the etchings that I'm talking about. There's these little black sort of lines. Of course, we know that can't be the original shield because the original shield was destroyed. So, like, it has to be a different shield.
Yep. Right, but it could be the original shield in a different timeline.
Right, and that could explain the difference. The original
shield in a different timeline could have had a number of things done to it.
Exactly. And, could be a different shield. That maybe he stole it from timeline that had Thanos already removed. So he's like, you don't really need this shield. We already took care of Thanos for your timeline.
We took care of the real big bad. So, you know, I'll just take the shield. You guys can make a new one. we have a time traveling Cap. Who's to say he didn't go forward in time to, you know, a different period and was like, hey, Wakanda, you remember me.
Hey, Wakanda.
Captain America, hello. Hello, Shuri.
Yeah.
Everyone else in Wakanda. People, shakes everyone's hands, because that's how Steve is. He would shake literally everyone's hand. And he's just like, I would like a new shield, please. You may recall that one that I had was destroyed. I would like this one to be circular, as opposed to the Panther gauntlet things that you gave me during Infinity War. That was nice, but I would like the classic frisbee shield back, please.
Yeah.
And they were like, of course, Captain America, but can you sign an autograph real quick?
Mm-hmm. He just signed an autograph for a bunch of a brain.
Of course. Yeah.
It does look like they've always had those diamondy etchings, but now they're just outlined in black.
Okay.
So get a paint job.
Could have just gotten a paint job. It looks a little different is all is what's been pointed out a lot online, but I don't know what if it means anything or if it's just the fact that it's a slightly different shape.
When I first looked at the picture, it looks like the same kind of hexagons like the damn Mind Stone or whatever that. The older ones look more like a diamond shape, where those ones have like that, like Wanda's magic box. It has that, the symbol on it, and like on the front of her costume.
Wanda's magic like box, same, you say?
Dirty bird.
Dirty bird.
But yeah, it's weird how they do look just like the symbol of the time stone that we've seen so much in WandaVision.
Oh yeah, interesting.
You mean the Mind Stone?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Same time stone.
They okay. Rhyme.
The Rhyme Stone. Okay, let's get to some more feedbacks because we are going rather slowly.
We're dwelling on this real long time. Mm-hmm. Corey Small sends an email and says, well, which of these two best friends of Steve Rogers is going to be able to do this all day? Anyway, I have a pure blind shot in the dark theory about what we might see in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What? As much as we like the return of Baron Zemo, I don't think he's going to be as front and center as we would like. He's going to operate in the shadows again. 2. The big bad will either be the head of whatever organization these masked super people are, or John Walker, aka the new Captain America. 3. Zemo might be the puppet master behind the John Walker Captain America, making another destroy them from the inside by killing each other ploy. 4. If Zemo does happen to be the big bad of the series, I think the masked people are test subjects of a makeshift super soldier serum made by Zemo himself to take down superheroes, ironic. But it won't be a permanent set of powers, but almost like a limitless type pill that gives temporary powers. 5. These masked individuals will be the problems, quote-unquote, that the new Cap will have to deal with, giving the public false hope of a new Captain America. Bucky and Sam inadvertently interfere. 6. Going off number 4, Zemo will get fed up with failing that he takes his temporary super pill himself to fight Sam and Bucky, ultimately killing himself in the process. 7. Mephisto. Why not? Just kidding. Love the podcast, guys and gals. Super pumped for the next greatest thing from the Marvel Machine. Good grief, if I love you 3,000, I must be persevering.
Whoa.
Get it?
Good grief, if I love you 3,000.
If I love you 3,000, I must like it. Be persevering.
I like Beautiful. It. Thank you, Corey. Those are all good theories. I don't know any, like, I just put it all
put
on, the board.
On the board.
Put it all on the board. I don't think Zemo could be behind everything. I don't know. Maybe he's like smart and maybe he's behind everything, but I think he's going to be like more of a taking the situation and running with it kind of character in this season. Cause I have a feeling he's going to be coming directly from, being in jail, but I may be wrong. Maybe he's been out for 5 years. Who knows? Maybe the blip freed him somehow.
Oh man. The blip happened and he just kind of like looks around. And strolls out of his prison cell because you know
his guards happens. Are gone. Yeah.
Oh man, and he could just walk the hell out. That would be awful. That'd be awful.
Mm-hmm.
Awfully awesome.
Oh, I get it. let's see. Jordan Newman sent us an email. Hey y'all, just a super nerd from DFW.
Hey DFW, that's where I'm right now. I'm in Dallas.
Where Matt is. Currently.
Let's hang, Jordan.
I love the show. I listen at work, and y'all are a great way to start the day. I cannot begin to tell you how much the MCU means to me, Cap in particular, but that's a long story for another email. Today, my inner musician wanted to theorize with you. First time writing in, so a bit long, so bear with me. It's worth it. Y'all brought up the music of Marvel and how much of it is sadly forgettable, but it's surprisingly not due to poor quality. Most of the music in the MCU is pretty great, yet no one can remember most of the melodies. How could this be? One reason is likely underuse. The MCU has a bad habit of not carrying musical themes from one movie to the next, so when the theme only appears in one movie, it fades into obscurity. But far more importantly, marketing. Think of any prominent movie theme. Just pick one off the top of your head. You got it? I can almost guarantee whatever melody you're thinking of appears in the trailer for the movie. Marvel almost never does this. They usually use seemingly random pop or rock songs, never the orchestral themes of the movie. The notable exceptions are Infinity War and Endgame. It's no coincidence that the Avengers theme is the most memorable. Proof of this concept? One song comes straight to mind when you think of Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's not the orchestral score, it's Hooked on a Feeling. It's not even the song that appears over the opening credits, just a song that appears briefly about half an hour into the film. Why? Marketing. Hooked on a Feeling appeared in almost every trailer for both movies. The trailers are the real reason the MCU music is hard for most people to remember. Just wanted to share that little musical conspiracy theory with you. I've got a lot more to write in later on. Love what you do. Love you, 3000. I should probably get back to work.
Jordan, this is a good theory, and I think it's probably true. Because I never think that the Marvel stuff is bad, but I do find it somewhat forgettable. You know, people that go and listen to the scores don't. They all remember it, obviously. They listen to it all the time. But, like, yep. Or people that have seen the movies over and over to the point, I'm not really a huge rewatcher, but I very rarely know the scores. Like, what is Captain America's theme? I couldn't tell you right now. Anybody? No. Okay.
What you got, Ashley? Tell us.
I just watched Iron Man, so it's really messing with my head. Caps is... Shit.
That's probably it. It's probably it perfectly. But no, what Jordan says here is true. Yeah, that thing. Oh, yeah, you're right.
It is a little bit like that, too, though.
Yep. Anyway.
Well, it's because Alan Silvestri did the music for the first Avenger before coming over to Avengers.
Right.
Well, anyway, point taken, Jordan, I think that, like, they don't use it in the marketing much. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if they're still adding the score late or something. But, like, you don't get these scores generally every week on your TV screen. With the exception of Endgame, I feel like that Endgame score was, like, constantly... Like, every time that Endgame, you know... thing. Anyway, it's a good point. And it's basically all pop songs. Like, the reason we like a lot of the pop songs we like are because they're played constantly on the radio, and they're played everywhere we go, and sometimes our brains just like repetition. Like, they get to where we're like, oh, that's a good memorable song, and it's like, no, you've just heard it 15 times now.
Yeah.
No, it's very memorable. I like when in Guardians of the Galaxy they did a fun twist on the first theme in the second movie. When they did the song Guardians Inferno, they took the theme from the first movie, the orchestral theme, and translated that into this, like, weird 70s disco type thing. And it was a ton of fun. And I remember pointing it out when we had a roundtable discussion on somebody else's podcast way back when. And I got called a nerd for pointing it out because I was like, you know, you hear the score in there, like, it's the theme from the first one. And they were like, oh my God, you nerd. I'm like, but we're here to nerd out about this. Okay.
Don't nerd shame on a nerd podcast. What are you doing?
Right? I always remember Ultron. What are you here for? Age of Ultron one, too, because Danny Elfman killed it in that opening when it's like, bah, 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 and it's all intense and scary. You're like, whoa, what are we about to watch?
Yep. Danny Elfman's a really good composer as well. I'm a fan.
Oinko Boingo, his band.
All right, so the next email is from Jeffrey James, and it's a great one. He says, Batman versus Bane, funniest fucking thing I've heard in a long time.
Thank you, Jeffrey James. Jeffrey James is one of our patrons. Oh, no, we dropped that in the main feed now. Yeah, that was in the main feed a couple weeks ago. So, yeah. Y'all enjoyed that Batman. We got some feedback that it was awful and we should never do comedy or improv, which I was like,
where was that? I didn't see it.
I think it was a review on iTunes or something. Maybe not. I think it was.
Oh, wait. Did you put that on Bingers or on Pandavision or is it on
MCU?
No,
it was on the MCU cast.
Ah.
I thought it was on. Anyway, we did get one negative piece of feedback, but like, whatever. It's we just were having a good time.
Thank you, Jeffrey James, for your opinion.
But thank you, Jeffrey. That's very kind. It was our first attempt at any kind of improvisational comedy.
At like extreme silliness.
Yeah. We really stick to just like conversations on here, and so that was fun to just like experiment with a new format.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Glenn Kessler sent us an email. Hey guys, and Ashley.
Hey.
Loving the early fatwas talk.
Fatwas.
I'm making a pledge to not go crazy with my theories on this next show, but just take it as it comes. We'll see how long that lasts. Okay, then, here's my comment, which is neither about WandaVision nor Fatwas. I don't know if you guys remember a compilation of animated shorts that accompanied the Matrix trilogy movies. It was called The Animatrix, and it was incredible. Short movies that each took a deep dive into aspects of the Matrix mythology. Some served as origin stories for lesser-known characters, some filled in gaps in the narrative, and some just played with the physics of that world, taking it in totally new directions. Each one had its own visual style. They worked very well with the story being conveyed. I'd love if there was something like this for the MCU. And no, it doesn't sound like What If will necessarily satisfy that. And that seems to be about changing something in the MCU and seeing what would happen. That's cool and all, but what I'd really love to see are stories like this. How did a primitive planet with no connection to outer space interpret the snap and blip? I can just imagine a planet with no idea what's happened and why having to create a whole religion around why half of their planet's inhabitants just disappeared.
Mm, that's beautiful. Mm.
And then what happens when they all come back? Of course, give me a short series about Cap returning each of the stones. And I'd also love an origin story for Rocket and Nebula and gap stories for Captain Marvel, Maria Rambeau, Monica Rambeau. Perhaps we're getting that one in Captain Marvel too. I just think there's so much fun to be had with these types of universe expanding stories and wonderful potential to explore social, psychological, and personal reasons for them. Thanks for reading my long letter, and as always, thank you for creating a fun and informative sandbox for us all to play in.
Hey, thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. I love this idea. What do y'all think?
I didn't see the Animatrix, but I heard great things about it. Mm-hmm. But like honestly, like anything that expands the world and gives us more content, yes, I want it. Yeah, you know, let's expand the universe more and more until we can't stand it anymore and we explode. And it's going to be great.
I've always said I really want to know what Nat, Sam, and Cap were up to. Like, I want that story. Where were they? Yeah. What were y'all doing? Oh, I just thought of the Cap theme. It's like... Burr, 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 burr. Yeah, I remember. But it's more trumpety, you know, like American. Like... Burr, burr, burr.
Okay.
It just came to me.
More trumpety American.
Sorry.
More trumpety.
More trumpet.
Bringing you on the screen here, Ash. What feedback, what live feedback do you have?
Okay. SparkStam85 says, hopefully, since War Machine is supposed to return in the series, hopefully we get a hint of Armor Wars at the end. I wonder if there is any chance we get Norman Osborn introduced.
Ooh. Norman Osborn in Armor Wars sounds really fun.
That would be a great one, especially with his run as Iron Patriot in the comics. And especially that being a real heavy theme in Dark Avengers. Oh my god, give me Dark Avengers. Yeah. I want it so bad.
The problem is this Sony and Marvel tenuous relationship right now. Mm-hmm. Like they've only really made a big deal for the Spider-Man characters. And we if mm-hmm. we want Norman and I want J. Jonah Jameson in every Marvel movie now. Like, I want him in these shows discussing the politics of the situation. Like, I need that J. Jonah Jameson in here. And, like, yeah, we're not getting it because their deal is so restrictive.
Jerks.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Why can't you all just be rich? Let's all be rich.
Right?
You know?
I don't know about let's. They all be rich, I guess? I don't know.
Well, I'm talking as if I'm a pretend board member.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would just bring it to them, like, who doesn't want to be stinking filthy rich? Let's just join together.
Totally. But yeah, that's a great call. Thank you. All right. Well, awesome. I like that. I like that idea a lot. Let's head to a commercial break where we have no control.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We'll be right back. And we're back. All right. Let's dive right into this is feedback.
Stephen Lyles on Gmail says, hey.
Hey.
I found the show recently and have loved listening to the weekly breakdown of WandaVision. I know that Mephisto has come up a lot and didn't make it into the show, but I have a very good reason to believe he will show up in Multiverse of Madness. I'm interested, Stephen. Let's talk
too.
More. You've piqued my interest. The mobile game called Marvel Future Fight typically has updated characters that fall in line with new movies, shows, and comic arcs that Marvel puts out. They seem to get information pretty far in advance to release their updates and don't change release dates even if movies do. They released a Black Widow update with David Harbour looking like Red Guardian, or a Red Guardian looking like David Harbour early last year. They intentionally tried to delay some things if there are major spoilers. The Spider-Man Far From Home update had a Hydra Man and Lava Monster playable character. Anyways, today they released an update that included Mephisto as a world boss. Others in this category include Thanos and his children, Apocalypse, and Scarlet Witch. This is significant because this was originally supposed to be the weekend that Multiverse of Madness released. I think they left him in the update to help introduce more people to his name slash character without giving too much away. Sorry for the long email. Love the show. Can't wait to hear more theories about Fatwas, Loki, etc. this year. Stephen from Nashville.
Stephen.
All aboard. Choo-choo.
I love it.
Really good reason to believe that Mephisto might appear in Multiverse of Madness, right?
Mephisto's back on the menu, boys.
We already felt like it was still a possibility, but this is a pretty solid intel from the world of Marvel Future Fight.
This is good meatiness. Good meatiness. I like it.
Absolutely.
And I want more like it. Jonathan Holland said in an email, hey, everyone, first time correspondents, love what y'all do. Some essential homework for Tefatwas.
Okay. Whenever Jeff does that, he means the Falcon and Winter Soldier, by the way. Like, it's hard. I don't think that's coming across in audio.
It's the knows. Falcon and the Winter Ass. Fatwas.
All right.
Fatwas. I like it. Listen to the last two episodes of the 1619 podcast for an in-depth discussion of the sadly very real and very current topic of agricultural loan denials of African-American families. Seems Marvel is taking direct aim at this issue with Sam Subblatt. Thanks and keep up the good work.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of the 1619 podcast. I've not listened. Cool.
I shun podcasts that aren't ours about Marvel, so.
Oh, no, 1619 is not about Marvel. It's about it's about racism, basically, I believe.
Oh.
And it's that one's about they were saying
so it's obviously not Marvel related.
Okay. Yeah. Marvel has nothing to do with civil rights.
It sounded like a universe ever. Numbers.
Oh, 616, yeah. No, yeah, that so cool. Thank you for that recommendation. Yeah,
Neil Gaiman heard 1602, so that's close.
Mm.
I love that 1602 book. The shit was good.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, Jeff is
other than a hilarious. Selective.
I roped Jeff into this whole podcast life. He has no idea what's out there.
Yeah, like, thanks for that. I probably won't listen to it, but I know where to turn for more information if I seek it.
I am super upset at my podcast app, so let me take this platform to say so, because I think people out there will understand. I've been a podcast listener and a Stitcher user for, like, I don't know, 10 years now. Whenever, like, I've been, Stitcher has been my main podcast app because it was cross-platform. I got it when I was on Apple, then it moved with me to Android, moved back to Apple. Like, everything has always been Stitcher. And I have a profile on there, and, like, they changed their interface this week, and I've completely, like, lost a bunch of my ways that I commonly listened. Like, they took away my playlists that I have curated for 10 years. So I had, like, playlists with 20, 30, 40 podcasts on them that were like, oh, these are my favorite shows, these are my ones about this, these are my ones about this. And some of them are still there, but they don't show up the same way, and I can't tell which ones are new and which ones are old and which ones are downloaded. And, like, the whole thing is totally changed, and I am so upset about it. That is the end of my story. I don't know if anybody else out there uses Stitcher, but I'm super mad at them right now. After being like a power user for years, I'm just like, I have no idea how to use this app right now. And I've lost my main playlist that I use is gone.
So basically it's like, Stitcher, get your shit together.
Yeah, I'm mad at you, Stitcher. Please don't shadow ban our
and
podcast.
I have a very important voice that you need to sate.
That's right. I mean, I've literally turned people onto it over the years. One of my favorite things about Stitcher was also, and I haven't been able to find this feature in the new update, is they keep up with how many hours of podcasts you've listened to. So I can go in there and be like, how many hours of podcasts? It's like, you've listened to like 18 weeks worth of podcasts on this app. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. It's pretty insane how many hours I had ranked up, and like, I can't find that feature anymore even, and I'm very upset about it.
Yeah.
It's like World of Warcraft had a similar feature where you could do like slash played to see how much time you have played the game.
Yes.
When it got to the point where I had played for like an entire full year's worth of time, I was like, maybe I need to step away.
One of my buddies did that with, I think, the game EverQuest. He really liked the game EverQuest. Yeah. And he would keep up with his time. And he had, like, the game came out, and then he checked it, like, 2 months later, and he had paid, like, an average of 16 hours a day or something absolutely insane.
No, thank you.
I was like, whoa. He's like, I'll practice guitar while I'm doing it, though. And I'm like, still, man. Calm down, buddy.
Marshall Naylor sent us an email. Hey, guys, I'm just here to say that I enjoyed the hell out of this episode. Marshall, why do you have more words here if that's all you came here to say?
I feel like there's a button there.
Yeah. It was really fun and powerful. I like that my friends had different interpretations on if Bucky actually killed the other guy's son or if it was just another byproduct of his winter soldiering messing with his memory. Having Henry Jackman back to do the score was a really strong choice because his Cap 2 and 3 score is amazing, especially the Winter Soldier theme, which appears in this episode.
Yeah.
The racial and political tensions with the bank scene was really well done. Thanks, guys, and Excelsior. Marshall, hey, fun fact, I don't have an unpopular opinion in email, so here's one. After watching Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, it is very funny and silly, but so very, very pretentious. Anything Drax says is not funny at all, but oh my god, Yondu's death is so sad. I'll shut up now.
I was a little confused by this. It is very funny and silly, but so very, very pretentious. Anything Drax says is not funny at all? What do you mean? Drax is so funny in that movie. Right?
Yeah. I mean, confused. I guess to each their own. If he doesn't think it's funny.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't personal know what to tell him, though. Yeah.
I almost feel like maybe he forgot a knot or something in there. Because I think he's so funny in that movie. In all the movies. Everything he's in is so funny.
Yeah.
Whatever, his interactions with Mantis, like, they're so good.
I feel like, I don't know, in Guardians 2, I felt like Drax was a bit of a different character. I think in Guardians 1, the humor of Drax was that his people are completely literal. So, like, you know, when metaphors are just going to go over his head was said, and he's like, nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because he takes it literally, but, like, the fact that he's just like, you know, you must be so embarrassed. Like,
it's like Stifler, how in the American Pies he just got a little bit more ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just a little different in a direction, and I'm not sure that I'm on board with that direction. Hmm. And it seems that Marshall's not either, unless Marshall forgot a word.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Thank you, Marshall, for that feedback.
And yes, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is great. You're right to think that it's so great. And yeah, Andre Sparks sent us a message on Facebook. Hey, hey, I don't know if you guys are going to bring it up, but they said She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Armor Wars, and Secret Invasion are filming soon, like next month. So I thought about Matt's comment about Westview residents coming back. What if they came back in She-Hulk? Feige said anyone could appear. Boom. Let me know what you think, Andre.
I love it. I love it. What if they do like set up a special court, you know, like what if that's what She-Hulk is about? There's like a special court.
The class mm-hmm. action suit against Wanda.
Right.
Everybody has to jump in on it. Like, have you been hurt by Wanda Maximoff in the past? Were you a member of the...
Was your reality tampered with by the Scarlet Witch?
Yeah.
Were your children kept in a bed?
Were you one of the Westview 3,892? Were you or a family affected by, or a family member affected by Wanda Maximoff? Did your child starve to death while not being able to leave their room?
Were you not in Westview, but you forgot your family member existed for a solid 10 weeks? Call us now.
Oh, wow.
Yep. You are owed money for your trauma.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Emily Sizzle on Twitter said, hello, friends. So you touched on the racial component a little bit with Fatwas, and my partner had a lot to mention about it. He is a black man, and seeing all of Sam's interactions with his family and the other black men in the community really hit home for him. Even just the dialogue between them, the cooking of soul food, all of it helped him feel represented and really shows the care that the writers took in this show. I also preferred the Bucky scenes myself, as I act similarly in therapy, but it made me appreciate the Falcon scene so much more. I know they mentioned that they will be tackling some race issues in the show, so I'm looking forward to how they handle it. The writers have done a great job so far with those scenes. I'm really glad that somebody felt representation where they had not felt it before.
Absolutely.
From this sort of thing. And honestly, we haven't seen, you know, the down-home Cajun guys that are just walking around on the dock shooting the shit at each other, unless we're talking about Luke Cage. You know, we had, you know, the old guys playing dominoes in the cafes, just like talking all kinds of shit about everybody around them. And like, it was so great to see those fun interactions that flesh out the world, because that's part of the world, you know?
It's not tokenism. It's not like there's one black character. They actually have Falcon existing in a culture that he's from, similar to what they did with Luke Cage. But even with this, this is not to in any way impugn Luke Cage. I love Luke Cage, but this is not a exclusively sort of black show. And I feel like Luke Cage was very much like the good guys, the bad guys, everyone in this is going to be sort of, everyone in it is black, and they're going to be exist in that culture. This is an African-American show all about this African-American culture. This is not that show. This is Falcon, who is stepping up as the new Captain America, and you've got Bucky, and you're going to have Sharon Carter, and all these different characters that are all existing together, but you've got real representation for a culture, the New Orleans culture there. And I absolutely love that too.
Yep. And I love that Carlos, the old man Carlos, is just like, hey man, when are you going to let me borrow them wings? I'm like, that's absolutely something that some old guy like that walking by on the street would say to him. Like, I love that character. I love the representation of that culture.
Yes. I
love that character, Carlos. I want him to be my grandfather.
Right.
I would loan him $50.
It's just nice to see representation in just a totally different way. And also, something we didn't really mention before that I caught on this watch was like the charity that's being done by the Wilson family.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention it, but it shows them taking meals to the hungry. And they talked about how like much of a legend their father was, and I'm assuming this whole thing was part of that. Like they also talk about how they want to be able to get a kitchen together to be able to take more meals to the hungry, and like they're clearly trying to not only set up like a good business that can survive, but also trying to work hard to give to their community where it's needed. You know?
Yeah.
And
I remember there was super one specific thing where like. Sarah pointed, like, that goes to the soup kitchen. And it was, like, just an aside line where we were like, you know, where's the hero coming in? Where the hero's driving up from somewhere, right? Like, where is he? And, like, it was one of those just kind of...
Yeah, it was thrown off to the side. Yeah. I like that.
Throw it out there kind of lines to, like, again, just to flesh out the world and show a little more depth for these characters. But, like, these are, you know, these are good people giving back to their community. Lauren Waters said, "Hey everyone, it's good to be back, and what a great start to a new show. I love the pilot and can't wait to see where the show goes. I will say, where WandaVision felt like a season of a show thus far, Fatwas feels like a six-hour movie being split up. Neither are bad, but they are different. I'm also going to push back a little on the idea the first episode in The Banker didn't demonstrate racism. The Wilsons did have the financial means to receive a loan, however, in the post-blip, they said banks were becoming more strict on who they loaned to. I think the banker dismissing the Wilsons out of hand speaks to the more subtle ways that racism can manifest. As Sarah said when the banker tried to dismiss their denial as just things tightening up, things always seem to be tightening around people like us. I actually appreciated the way the show highlighted the nuances of systemic racism rather than go straight for the obvious and overt. However, this is just my take, and I totally see your point. Have an awesome week, Lauren. P.S. Can we talk about Tony not paying the Avengers? WTF, man, you're a billionaire. The cost of one of those Quinjets could have covered the team's salary for years. I get not paying them after they, like, went on the run with Cap or whatever, but him not paying them when they were official team members is ridiculous. Hashtag unionize the Avengers.
Thank you, Lauren. Yeah, I love it. And this is a great point about the way that racism was handled. And this is some of what we got from the other side in our one-star reviews was just like, you guys are just kind of missing the point. You missed the point of some of the stuff in there. And like, it's true. I straight up did. I did not take some of these things the way that people, it caught other people's ears differently. All I can say is that I do, I believe it's happening. Unlike some of our one-star reviews this week, I believe there is racism.
It does exist.
Yeah. I really appreciate yours, Lauren, and that you see that as very much systemic racism in that scene.
There were a couple of messages that I got that were like, I was listening to the podcast, and like when Matt said what he did, I immediately started opening a message window to say something to you guys, but then you jumped in and said what you said, and I was able to close my message, so thank you. I was like, okay, sure. I don't know what I said.
Yeah,
that was good.
But I don't know what we said. I think you may have clarified my point, because I think maybe that my I think maybe when I first started talking about it, my initial reaction was like, I don't like where they're going with the racial stuff on the show, because I didn't think they were going far enough. But it came off as if I was saying, like, lay off the racial stuff. Like, I kind of feel like you either go all the way or you don't at all. But once I heard from a lot of other listeners, and especially like listeners of color who caught things that I didn't catch, and some of that is in the feedback here, I really felt this show actually handled it better than I realized. And it actually did cover more than I was being thick. I was being, I was not catching the racial overtones that they were putting down.
I remember there were several times where you're like, he wasn't being racist. He was just following the rules. And I'm like, oh, that's problem.
Right.
No.
Well,
it's okay.
My point was I would have liked if it had been a little more clear that there was a decision being made because of racism. But like, the point is there is this systemic problem. And I fully get that, but it's hard because it's like it's a hard problem, and this is the real issue that I that I'm having in analyzing the show and whether it's taking the proper tact or not, right? And I'm not one to judge whether it is. We'll see by the end. But, like, if you go too soft on the racism, you let every person that wants to ignore racism ignore it, right? Because it's never directly addressed. I talked to friends this week about the show that said, oh yeah, there's absolutely nothing racist about that scene at all. And I'm like, well, there was this and the, you know, like things that I hadn't noticed, you know? But if you go too hard at it, then you give certain people an out because they can say, well, I'm not that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, how do you walk that line where you're actually trying to address the problem without going so hard that you give people sort of a mirror to hold themselves up to go, I'm not as racist as that guy? Because here's the thing. If the banker had just been like, oh, no, we can't because you're from this neighborhood, or so, you know, some like something that was a little more direct about, you know, their place in that city or whatever, then like,
I think that's exactly why they did it that way, because right. This is more of what the, you know, the whole, just coming out the gate with the LSU comment right away, yes. You're like, damn.
See, and I didn't even catch that as racism.
This is undertoned racism, and this is what people are dealing with daily on a more realistic tone, mm-hmm. than what you see sometimes over exaggerated to show what a scene needs it to be. This was very realistic, I feel like.
Yeah. Right.
There's nuance in all things, and I feel like this was a lot closer to a mirror of actual life. And the fact that you and other people didn't see it as immediately racist, Matt, is probably part of the thing that they're trying to shine a light on, is that it doesn't look like overt racism. It doesn't look like, you know, a guy with a white hood on behind the banker desk being like, can't give no loans to you kinds of people. Like, it's not that. It's the system is built against certain people.
Right.
And, you know, I can't say that Marvel is absolutely going to tackle it, because it's a big, complex problem. And, like, this is a show about a guy with a wingsuit. And,
right.
A former Russian soldier, former soldier for Russian people.
That's what, like, I was getting at. Is I'm worried that, like, it's just going to sprinkle these references in that the sort of, like, woke crowd will, like, hear and go, good job, you made a reference, and then they won't actually try to address it in any other real way. But, like, right. I also understand if they go too far to being preachy, it'll either be turned off as preachy, or it'll be allow people to see them, not see themselves in the problem. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think with the sister kind of flat out also being like, you know, you mean it's, you know, harder for people like us. I mean, they weren't being subtle.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Because they were so subtle with the banker, someone who wants to make apologies for the banker and for the system would go, well, she's just over the line. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel that way. But, like, I can absolutely see someone like, that guy's just doing his job. Why are you harassing him and calling him racist? You know, or like calling him part of this racist system when he's, you know what I mean? Like, it sort of like,
yeah.
It's really hard to like make, it's hard to have these conversations, and that's the fucking problem. Like we said, we tried to have a little bit of a conversation last week and we got 1-star reviews from people on both sides, and we're just like, well, whatever. We don't know how to, and we fully
admit. Definitely getting more.
Oh, for sure. We're going to get some 1-stars this week, for sure.
Yeah.
Steve Abramowitz says, guys, good Lord, I hope they don't make the show about black people not able to get bank loans. If they do, it'll play more into Disney politics and less about Marvel comic book canon come to life. We get enough politics in sports, TV, and big business, so I respectfully disagree. We need this subject matter, especially in wake of the news of Captain America Jr. is gay. Obviously, their market research teams think we do need more modern politics, but I'll be sad going forward since the MCU has been so universal so far. Here's hoping the Flag Smashers aren't KKK-esque, but more Logan Reavers-like. Overall, really happy for content.
So, a couple things. The new young Captain America being gay, like, it's very unrelated, but clearly kind of puts Steve throwing down his gauntlet there where he stands on all this stuff. Steve's main point, though, is that He says, I hope they don't make the show about black people not able to get a bank loan. Unfortunately for you, Steve, they did. Like, that's what's on the show. Like, so
I don't have a lot to say here.
It's like about, it is about that. Like, that is what, one of the things that the show is about. And I don't know where they're exactly going to go with it, but that is what the show is about. And, like, the idea that you're not going to have politics or, like, especially civil rights issues in your Marvel content is just not happening. Like, it's going to be that way. There's going to be some civil rights issues in Marvel Comics, because they always have been.
So there's a Stan's soapbox that was posted in – or not posted, but, like, published in a Marvel comic – it says, from time to time, we receive letters from readers who wonder why there's so much moralizing in our mags. They take great pains to point out that comics are supposed to be escapist reading and nothing more. But somehow, I can't see it that way. It seems to me that a story without a message, however subliminal...
This is Stan Lee speaking, by the way.
Stan Lee, yep. Without, however subliminal, is like a man without a soul. In fact, even the most escapist literature of all, old-time fairy tales and heroic legends, contained moral and philosophical points of view. At every college campus where I may speak, there's as much discussion of war and peace, civil rights, and the so-called youth rebellion as there is of our Marvel mags per se. None of us lives in a vacuum. None of us is untouched by the everyday events about us. Events which shape our stories just as they shape our lives. Sure, our tales can be called escapist, but just because something's for fun doesn't mean we have to blanket our brains while we read it. Excelsior, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's honestly, that's all we had to read. Like, we're trying to respond to these things a thing by thing, but, like, that's it. The story is going to include some stuff, and, like, it's mostly civil rights, and you guys, if you read the idea that people are talking about inequity and civil rights as politically against your side, maybe you should reconsider the side you're choosing.
Like, and it almost feels like the show's giving us a little bit of, like, stages, like easing it into us, because we're obviously going to have a moment where the talk about having a black Captain America is going to come up. And I feel like they're setting us up for part of the plot being people not wanting that.
Yeah.
I think they are. And well, see, that's what we thought before we started this watch of this show. And I don't know now. I'm really curious if they're going to go there or if all of the racial stuff is going to just sort of be the more subtle systemic stuff that is very real, but like, or if they're going to attack it directly. There's also, of course, as we've discussed, the plot line of the original super soldier, the black character from comics. There's been some speculation that he will appear. And I'm very curious to see if that happens. With all this stuff with the super soldiers, and there's like something going on with super soldier serum. Did you guys catch the Power Broker stuff? Have you guys seen any of this? There's a character in comics called Power Broker. And yeah, I guess he's someone who, like, literally helps decide which characters get powers and which don't and stuff. Like, he helps them achieve powers if they need them or something like that. He's a villain, I believe. But Power Broker, like, it's written in, like, one of the credit sequences. In one of the credit sequences, it's like, the Power Broker is watching is written in one of the credit sequences.
Those little sentence things.
There's tons of weird Easter eggs at the end. And, like, if that... It seems weird to put the Power Brokers watching if that's not going to tie into the show.
Right.
Especially when you've got these characters that are all getting powers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I just read the first sentence of this wiki page that mentions that Dr. Carl Malus was a mad scientist who experimented on various superhuman individuals, went to work for the Power Broker Corporation. That guy, that character, Carl Malus, is the guy that experimented on Joaquin Torres, the guy that eventually becomes the new Falcon
Whenever
Sam takes over the role of Captain America.
That's right, yeah. So if they're going with Torres becoming the new Falcon, then the Power Broker makes a lot of sense to be in there.
It does. It tracks a lot. It's on the board already.
Power Broker confirmed. Power Broker confirmed. All right, this is me checking in one more time to let you know that this thing that's about to happen is the final email I warned you about. So this is where we get a little more political than just civil rights, in that I discuss actual political parties and affiliations and those thoughts, because they're brought up by an emailer. So, hopefully, if you don't want to hear that kind of content, you just peace out. Hopefully none of you feel too offended by the fact that we are talking about this on this platform. I feel passionately enough about this stuff that I didn't think it was right to just delete it and leave it out, because I do feel passionately. So enjoy if you want to. Peace. Okay, we have one last political email that we'll get into.
It's and a long one, too.
It's a long one. I don't know. Should we read it?
All
right, let's do it.
We need to represent both sides, and you know, we're not
respond to them.
We need to show that we're not shunning people for their viewpoints, even if we don't agree with them.
Right. We really,
Joshua Mason.
Let me say this too before I was super conservative for a very long time, and I disagree with the direction things are going right now. Mostly because of this stuff, the civil rights stuff. But I love you guys. If you completely disagree with us and you hating us right now for what we're saying, feel free to email and Ashley will turn it over to me to talk to. And I will happily have a discussion with you about how you
she
feel.
Don't want to have it with
me. And most of the time I find that people actually, have misconceptions about what the other side thinks. And right now I feel like that's going on a lot. People think that all this civil rights stuff is this Trojan horse for like economic systems they don't agree with. And it's just not true. There are people in fucking pain in this world who need help and are having, you know, their lives taken away from them. And like, there's, well, we'll read this. Well, let's read this email and we'll discuss.
All right. Joshua Mason says, "Hey crew, longtime listener, or at least I've been with you guys since 2017, so it feels like I've earned that title. First off, I just want to say I absolutely love this first episode. After WandaVision, and with huge projects on the horizon, including Loki, the show easily became the least anticipated project we had footage for, because it's not as grand, quote-unquote, in terms of magic and space. That said, they chose the perfect route for this show. What is the fallout of everyone blipping back in terms of governments and society? Such a fascinating area of the universe to look at. And so far, it looks like these flag smashers will be our first villains in the MCU whose villainous motivations grew out of the blip, similar to how Zemo was the first MCU villain to grow out of an Avengers disaster/conflict. I was a bit disappointed by some of your commentary and your initial reaction to the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, specifically about the banking scene with Sam and his sister. I thought the scene was great precisely because it wasn't directly racial, or at least it seemed hidden. Not because I want to bury my head in the sand and ignore it, but because it very much mirrors real life. Let's say the banker denied them because they were black. He wouldn't make that obvious. He would use new rules, quote-unquote, and other loopholes to make that known. It's like Sam's sister said, funny how things always tighten up when it comes to us. It was a very good portrayal of how the systemic racism narrative might look in real life, while also providing a decent avenue for discussion. Was it racial? Still, I won't deny the racial issue about how their dad was a giant in the community, yet this bank in their community has no idea. They only knew them because of Falcon's rep as an Avenger, not as Mr. Wilson's kids. But the part that disappointed me was when you guys said half the country just wants to bury their head in the sand, and it goes without saying you were implying the right-leaning half, i.e. conservatives. This is far too simplistic and not true, and it feels to me like the product of not talking with enough people who disagree with you politically, but instead getting your vision of how they think and feel from late-night talk show hosts or very stereotypical satirical portrayals. Plus, Marvel isn't shy when it comes to political undertones, especially racial ones. Black Panther received rave reviews, even from the quote-unquote right-leaning people, and it was probably the most political of all canon content because it featured very relevant refugee themes and the oppression of black people. I feel like you guys have always done a great job of balancing your political views pretty well and being somewhat empathetic to those you disagree with. But this time was rather disappointing, as it felt like you yourselves, and I apologize for the more direct tone, may have had your heads in the sand when it comes to understanding those who disagree with you politically, assuming you two are not right-leaning. Still, I'm a big fan of the show and love tuning in. You guys always give me enough theories and predictions to be able to seem like I'm the some smart person every time I discuss the show with family and friends. Take care, Joshua M.
Hey, Joshua. Thank you for writing it in. Thank you for very much. And
yes, it was a broad, sweeping generalization of half the country has their head in the sand. That is a phrase that I said. And I will accept that it is broad strokes, but I don't know that I accept that it's necessarily wrong.
Here's the thing. I don't think half the country has their head in the sand. I think that half the country either has their head in the sand, or they are deciding that other things are more important than the problems that exist racially in this country. And that is a decision you can make. I am not making it. Joshua says that we're getting our information from late night comedians and not talking to people that we disagree with. That is not true. Not true of me anyway.
Let's not make assumptions when you don't know, you know, what people are doing. We're not making assumptions about how you're getting your information, and could guarantee you we're not getting ours from late night TV hosts.
I mean, I get some from late night TV hosts, I'm not going to lie, but
I don't.
I love late night TV show hosts. But no, it's not where I get my information for real. But it's not like I haven't talked to right-leaning people. I am very much like versed in the right-leaning side of things. I grew up very right-leaning and basically was a conservative until Donald Trump, basically. Mm-hmm. And like there's always been a string of racism in our in that side of things, and I was able to logic it away for a long time. But when it is being so heavily touted by the man in charge of the whole thing, I left. And so I don't know what's going on. I don't not understand how they think. It's not like I never talked to someone on that side. I was the guy on that side. And the stuff that's gone on the last 4 years, I would not bury my head in the sand, and I would not prioritize other things over the, like, I mean, it sounds cheesy, it sounds very left-leaning, but the soul of the nation. Like,
goddamn snowflake.
Yeah, I'm a goddamn snowflake. Like, when the way Donald Trump talked about, in very broad generalizations, about people that were hurting and people that are calling out in pain and people that are asking for refugee status, and the way that he talked about basically anyone that wasn't his color, it's just real obviously what was going on. And right. If you don't see that, I think you're wrong. You have a right to believe what you believe, but and you have a right to prioritize, like, capitalism over people that are hurting, but that's what you're doing.
Yep.
You're either burying your head in the sand, or you're prioritizing an economic system or whatever you think about politics other than that stuff over that stuff. Or you think it's all lies, and I just vehemently disagree with you. The numbers are not on your side. The numbers are just not on your side. Calculus. It is very simple. There is a huge disparity.
Even I can do that math.
There's a huge disparity in wealth in this country. There's a huge disparity in education. There's a huge disparity in policing. And there's a huge disparity in incarceration rates. And they're just true. So either you believe, if you don't believe in systemic racism, you believe that black people are inherently worse. That's the math. Like, you're saying that there's no systemic problem, or you're saying that that an entire race of people have decided to make decisions that are worse for them, and like you can believe that, but that is racism, like, inherently. So you have to decide. It's either systemic racism, or you are personally racist. Like, that's I can,
I can see how happy Ashley is to not be on camera right now. Like, she's got an eyebrow raised. She's got her head, you know, perked up on
dance
her hands.
Dance around it delicately, boys.
Well, we said we were going
to get canceled. Only been a year for me. No, just kidding.
All right, well, I'm going to bring you in, Ashley. You ready?
I'm ready.
You're on camera.
Yeah.
Put your cheeks back or whatnot.
Get the persona on.
Yeah. So, okay.
Screw your smile in. No, it's the other eyebrow.
Oh.
That,
that one doesn't go down.
And let me say.
Doesn't. It's always in a what the fuck.
Let me say, all that stuff I just said, which was very direct and very, like, scathing or whatever. Like, I don't think you think that about yourself at all. And I don't think that you I don't even think you're necessarily making the decision to believe that. Sometimes people are just trusting news sources that tell them one thing that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Hashtag sad.
I think it's sad. Like, I really do. I was super conservative for a very long time, and I still am on a lot of issues. But, like, this one I won't stand for anymore. And civil rights is not politics. And that is why we are going to continue talking about it on this podcast. We are going to continue having discussions about the way they handle race in this show. And yes. Civil rights is not politics.
I think saying that we're going to continue to talk about it on this podcast is really, like, we have to quantify that or qualify that with a as long as it's part of the content that we're covering.
Yeah, we're not
going to
just...
We're not going to shy away from it just because we don't like the feeling that it gives us when we talk about it.
Right.
That people don't want to hear about it. Well, then, you know, I guess you shouldn't watch the show.
Right.
Because we're all hearing about it.
If you don't want to deal with racism, then maybe you should go read DC. And that was a mean statement.
What? No,
sorry. What are you talking about?
Sorry.
We talked about this?
We talked about this. Okay.
No. I love all you guys. I love everybody who listens to this podcast. And I really appreciate all the people who listen to this podcast. It's been hugely cool to see this community grow up. But it doesn't mean I just won't. We won't talk about all the politics, but, like, when it comes to racial stuff, and I'm not going to not talk about it when it comes up in the shows.
Right.
We're not going to shy away from it, but we're not going to,
we're not
going to
become a politics podcast either.
Episode about it. Oh, wait.
Well, this is just
the end. We needed a precursor.
Yeah, we're freaking out.
We needed to just, you know, reel it back in and just tell everybody, you know, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
So Falcon and the Winter Soldier was awesome. The first episode was amazing. I'm so looking forward to this next episode. What I want more than anything out of the show is for Buckbeak to happen. I want Falcon and I want the Winter Soldier together. I want my chocolate and my peanut butter because I'm a Reese's fan. I want their interaction. Can you move the seat up? No. Like, I love their interactions together. Mm-hmm. I want that. Give me that. You've shown me that in the trailers, Marvel. Give it to me. I want it. I know you've got it.
Yeah, it better. I don't need another episode of them separated. I'll tell you that right now. With only six episodes, you get one.
You get one. They better be together.
Yep.
15 minutes into this next episode, they better be together.
So this is like the WandaVision thing where they don't get outside of the... outside of the hex until the fourth episode, like,
oh god,
Ashley's
so mad.
Ashley's like, put those two beautiful men together, do it.
Blind. Yeah.
Like, Sam Wilson looked stellar in that suit when he was presenting the shield.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Mackie is he's a good looking dude.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I saw him in Altered Carbon. Very Ooh, naked. Yeah. Very naked.
Extremely naked. On a scale of one to naked, he was pretty naked.
Yeah, pretty naked. Rob says in the chat, I think there are definitely issues that aren't negotiable, like civil rights, but most issues aren't black or white. There is gray areas. There are gray areas, and people's ability to talk and recognize other points makes the gray more prevalent and takes away the black and white divisiveness a little. I agree with you completely. I think there's a lot of gray area in the way we handle racism and in the way what should we do about it? All those issues, right. There's a lot of gray area. But on whether it exists and whether there's a problem, there isn't a gray area to me.
The most important takeaway from this is that there is a lot of discussion that can be brought up on exactly how racism is apparent in this country and just the world in general. And I might not be the best person to talk about that with if you don't agree with me. And I'm okay with that. And I really need you to be okay with that too.
So if you do want to chat, I'm happy to talk to you about how I feel about this stuff. So please, at mcucast@gmail.com, shoot me an email. Just say it's for Matt about racism shit.
Yeah, attention, Matt.
Attention, Matt. And so Ashley can ignore those. and I'll happily have a discussion with you. I really do love you guys, 3000, and don't have any hate for anyone. And especially, most people don't have hate for people either. They just may not fully... they don't see the things the way I see them, and I would happily have the discussion to try to bring some people over to see things the way that I do, because I think that I have learned things in the last 4 years. Because of the things that pushed me this direction, I ended up learning a lot, and I feel like those things are true, and they're worth learning and talking to people about.
Yeah. Catherine Ray in the chat, in response to you saying, or to us saying all of that about, Anthony Mackie being in Ultra Carbon quite naked. She said, excuse me, I have to go watch some Ultra Carbon. And I gotta let you know, that is going to be season 2 of Ultra Carbon.
Season 2, episode 3, 14 minutes. No, I'm lying. I'm just pretending like I knew the exact timestamp. It was a joke. What?
It was a good joke.
Was there anything else in the chat, Ash, that you rounded up there toward the end that we kind of didn't talk about yet?
Yep, I'll do 3 quick ones. Smith Rocks 2 says, I found it interesting that Flag Smasher is now an organization instead of just one villain like in the comics.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting too.
I feel like it's a better name for an organization than it is for a villain. Flag Smasher sounds like a dumb villain name, but for like an organization, yep. It's very, very exactly.
Exactly like that.
Exactly. Exactly like that. You said it.
And these last two kind of piggyback off each other. So I'll just read them both together. Arbreeze says, it's cool that Falcon and the Winter Soldier have Steve Rogers as their common thread, but what I'm looking forward to is their interaction in regards to Bucky having PTSD and Sam, who worked at the VA with soldiers who had PTSD. I can't wait to see how that happens. Ooh. And Jess said, piggybacking off that, Bucky's therapist mentioned that Sam had been texting him, Bucky. He's probably reaching out to try to help, but Bucky's not ready. I can't wait for that.
That sounds really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really, really wonderful.
Yeah, there's no one better to help him than Sam.
I mean, for sure.
There might be better people, but like, there's no one better that we've seen on screen.
Yeah.
Why don't you go put your head in the sand, okay?
Okay, I'm just saying. Just leaving the possibility open. I mean, we've seen that like his therapist is terrible.
Well, I like her because she's also like been in war. Like, she's calling him in his shit. She knew he didn't just mean peace.
She's like, that is utter bullshit.
Like, I need my therapist to talk to me like that, because if they're just throwing the therapy mumbo-jumbo, I'm going to mentally check out and do what he's doing. But when you connect with me on a real level and talk to me like I'm a person, not just a project, you're going to get more from me.
if you talk to me like the idiot that you know that I am, and that I kind of know that I am.
Hey.
when you're doing the wrong thing for yourself, and you're just lying about it, you're being kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
And sugarcoating it may not necessarily be the best way for some people. And it seems that she feels that way with Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least he followed Rule 3 thoroughly.
I am no longer the Winter Soldier.
Only when he did. Only really followed.
Hey, nobody got hurt permanently.
Yeah, they both kind of got hurt a little bit.
Nose a little
bit. Yeah, a little hurt.
But then he smiled.
That's true. That makes it all better.
And then she got arrested. She was a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.